Well, you have already heard part of my story, how I came here, and Jenny told the story very beautifully and in a very brief and concise way, and I will take over from where she left it off. One of the moments I remember vividly of my first days here in Waco was the orientation time at Truett Seminary. A student worker walked up to me and spoke to me in Kinyarwanda, and that was a place I was not expecting to hear someone speaking my language. And he said, "Ikaze." Ikaze in Kinyarwanda means welcome. And I said, "Excuse me?" He said, it was startling for him because he was trying to be nice, and then that was my reaction, but really. Really, it's because I was not expecting to hear someone speaking my language. And when I looked at her, he did not look Rwandan. And his accent, I could tell that he's not Rwandan, but I had him speaking my language in the moment. I was not expecting that. And for the rest of the day, or part of the day, I kept wondering, what does this mean? What does it mean that this person that I've never met before, that I was not expecting to see here, that he comes to me and speaks to me in my own language? I was wondering, does it mean I will get to see more people who speak the same language? Sorry, here? Does it mean that they teach Kinyarwanda here at the school? Does it mean that I need to speak all the languages that are, like, all the nationalities here? Do I need to learn their languages? It was a question that I pondered for a while. On the Pentecost day, the people who witnessed the speaking of the multiple languages, they ask themselves a question. And the question is, what does this mean? What are we to make of this? We hear people proclaiming God's wonderful deeds in our own languages. And the question is, what does this mean? And I believe the question is still in front of us today. Over 2,000 years ago, as we live today and celebrate the day of Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit, we're still wondering, or we still, at least we should ask ourselves, what does this mean for us today, here and now? And in the next few minutes, I will try to help or guide us as we ponder that question according to how I read this text, what the text tells me. But my hope and prayer is that the Holy Spirit will keep teaching us every day what this means for us as the church, as the spring, but really as the body of Christ. What does it mean that to receive the Holy Spirit and all the ways the events unfolded? What is it? Does that speak to us? And we have already kind of answered that question in Sunday school. For those who were present, we already touched some of the things I was going to speak to talk about. So maybe the Holy Spirit wants to emphasize this during the sermon. So there is a reason that is being repeated during the Sunday school, during the service. Before I talk about what I prepared, I want to go back to the text. Luke tells us the story of the coming of the Holy Spirit, but I want to go back to the first chapter where Jesus is having a conversation with his disciples before he ascended to heaven. And he tells them the promise is going to be fulfilled and you have to wait in Jerusalem until the promise is fulfilled. But what amazes me about this particular part is how the disciples' mind is focused on something different. When Jesus' mind is on something different, the disciples ask the question, is this the time that you're about to establish the kingdom of Israel? Is this the time that we're going to be a strong nation again? That's where the disciples' mind is focused, to becoming a great nation again, which in my opinion is not too bad of a desire to have, given all the expectations about Messiah. But Jesus is telling them, that's not where your mind should be focused. This is what I'm planning, is to send the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit will enable you to be my witnesses from Jerusalem, but to the ends of the world, the earth as well. And whenever I think about this passage, I think about the church today. When we think of God's mission, the scope of God's mission, sometimes it's all focused on us, sometimes it's all focused on our locality here and now, our nation, I come from Rwanda, and whenever I read this passage, whenever I think about God's work, before I moved here, it would be all about Rwanda, the Church of Rwanda, the people of Rwanda, my family, my church. That's how I used to think about God's mission and God's work in the world. And I believe it's the same for most of people, Christians. When we think of God and the work he's doing, it's all about us and here and where we are. But reading this passage shows me how when we focus on ourselves, God's mission and God's work is wider, and what God has on mind is more is wider than what our narrowed mind shows us. And I wonder this morning, and a question I'm presenting to us is, how do we think of God's mission? We kind of talked about it earlier in Sunday school, how we always think of in terms of what we think, what we see, what we experience, but we fail to let God widen our minds and show us other things where he wants to work. And this was what the disciples were going through, where they were thinking about Israel, thinking about Israel becoming a strong nation again, but God was thinking about the nations, was thinking about other nations other than Israel. And I think for us, what this means, what Pentecost means, what the coming of the Holy Spirit means, is that God sees beyond what we see. He has a wider scope of his work in the world, and he wants us to lift up our eyes so that we can follow his lead and follow him where he leads us. And then the next point, the next thing I think about this passage is when the events that we read, when the Holy Spirit fell on the disciples. The Bible says that they were all in one place and they were waiting for the Holy Spirit. I do not know if this is the way they were expecting the Holy Spirit to come. Falling on people, speaking different languages. I tend to think that that was not what they expected the Holy Spirit to look like when he came down. And the people who were there, who witnessed the coming of the Holy Spirit, were not expecting that either. But that's how God chose to walk, and that's how God chose to manifest himself. That's how God chose to send the Holy Spirit. And that's another way of challenging us and showing us how we are narrow-minded when it comes to thinking about how God works and how God can use us and how God can manifest himself. And that's why it is important for us to allow God to open our eyes and to show us other ways he works and in different ways. And this was kind of mentioned even in the Sunday school. And then another question I kept pondering as I was reading this passage was the fact that people who were present were able to hear the disciples proclaiming God's wonderful deeds, that they were able to hear God telling them in different languages how great he is and how powerful he is, using different languages. And then that's when I was asking myself, what does this mean to us? What does it mean that the disciples were able to speak different languages? Does it mean that we all need to learn new languages? Does it mean that all Christians should be able to speak different languages? What does this mean for us today? And as much as the idea of being able to speak good languages, many languages would be a good idea, but I think it's not realistic. I think some people speak just one language, but what does it mean for us as the church to proclaim God's goodness to different people, to those around us, in languages that they hear, in languages that they understand? And one language that I know every person understands, no matter their cultural background, no matter their skin color, no matter their educational level, no matter their background, any person on the in the world understands the language of love. Every person understands the language of kindness. Every person understands the language of empathy. And I believe what Pentecost means to us today is that we are called to be people who speak the language of love wherever we are. That's the mission we're given by God choosing to multiply the languages. It's so that we can be people who can be relevant to people around us, no matter their cultural background, no matter their level of education, no matter who they are, they can speak that language of love and they can hear the language of love because it's the language of the heart. And as I kept thinking about this, I thought about went back to my own story of when I first came to Dayspring. I remember my first day here when I walked up in the sanctuary. It was on Sunday, and I looked around and I felt strange. I felt like a foreigner, like an outsider. I felt like I remember going home wondering if this is the place for me, because I knew that people loved me because I had already been communicating with Jenny and Dr. Creech, and it was wonderful. I could tell that they're amazing people. But when I walked in here, I wondered if I would be accepted, if I would be understood, if it's a place for me. But as days went on, I came to hear the language of love. I came to hear my language, which is the language of love. No one spoke Kinyarwanda, but I came to hear the language of love every day of my life. Every day I came across someone, every day I received a text, every day I was invited in your homes to share a meal, every day I was taken out for dinner or tea or coffee, I heard the language of love. And I came to learn God's goodness through the love I was shown every day I was here. And one of the particular moments I remember is when I was, it was a Sunday morning and I was tired and I was emotionally drained and spiritually exhausted. I forced myself to come to church that morning. And I was standing outside of the chapel and Elia Gibson came by and we started a conversation. It seemed that it was two students trying to tell about their week and how hard it was and homework, and we found that common thing to talk about, and then at the end of the conversation, she looked at me and she said, "We are happy that you are here." And I was wondering if I was supposed to be here. I was wondering if I was supposed to be in seminary, given how hard it was at that moment, school-wise. That was the difficult part. But that day, I knew God had just spoken to me, and I knew God had just confirmed that he wants me to be here. And that was the language of love that was spoken to me in that moment. And that's one of the many, many languages of love, kindness, and one of the ways, the language of love and kindness and acceptance and understanding that was spoken to me. Now, no one of you, at least at my knowledge, no one speaks Kinyarwanda, but I can tell you that through your long language of love, I came to know God's goodness on another level. I came to know how God loves me and cares for me on another level. I've always known and believed in God's love for me and his goodness, but I would say that for the past 4 years, I know that God is good. I know that God loves me. I know that God was with me here because of how you showed love and spoke love to me in all different ways. And as I speak about this, I know that we're thinking about the Naomi House and that project, you're probably wondering what you will be able to do without the knowledge of Spanish or You probably don't speak any other language. You probably won't be able to communicate, linguistically speaking. But I can tell you all that you have a language that you speak very well, very fluently. And that's the language of love. That's the language of understanding. That's the language of supporting. And that's what we are called to be as the church. We are called to make God's goodness known to the nations, to people from different cultures, to people from different walks of lives, by being loving, by speaking that language. And I believe people who will be coming here, they probably haven't heard that language in a long time. They probably are doubting the goodness of God, the greatness of God. And this is a place where they will get to hear that language again. They get to hear God's goodness and God's works proclaimed in their own language, which is the language of love, which is the language everybody speaks, every heart speaks. And that's my prayer, that everyone who will be in Dayspring, no matter who they are, no matter where they come from, no matter what language they speak, that they can hear this language of love. That has been my prayer for the past few weeks as I think about my journey here at Dayspring. And it's not easy. I'm not trying to say that it was easy for you all to speak this language. It's hard. And that's why the church needs to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to be able to do that. The Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost to empower the church to be a church that speaks love, that speaks the language of kindness and empathy to the world. One of the questions we're trying to answer during Sunday school was, what does it mean for us as the church to have the Holy Spirit? What does it mean for us as the church to be empowered by the Holy Spirit? And I will say what I think, and as I said, the Holy Spirit will keep teaching you all, is that is the empowerment, the power to be able to show the love of God in this difficult time that we are living in. It is very difficult right now to talk about God's love, given what is going on around the world, the pandemic that we're still facing, though it's ending, the wars around the world. How do you speak of God's goodness to a mother whose child has been shot at school? How do you tell of God's goodness when there are people who go hungry every night, every day, or all those things that make it hard for us to be able, on the one hand, speak of love and tell of God's goodness and lament and be empathetic and do what we're supposed to do. It's really hard to hold those things in tension, but that's why we need the power of the Holy Spirit. I think for me, what it means to receive the Holy Spirit is to be empowered to be the church that can still stand with boldness by speaking the language of love in every day. We're wondering, how does that play out in our everyday life? It's by being or speaking the language of love to everyone around us every day, not just on Sunday, not just to someone like me, but everyone around us. And that requires the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I hope our understanding of Pentecost, I hope it leads us to that place where we kneel or we go on our knees and pray for the power to love and show God's love and speak the love language, the language of love to those around us. And I will ask you this question as I get to the end of my sermon. Who around you needs to hear the language of love? Who is not seeing God's goodness, and you're there, you're the one to speak that language of love so that they can know God's goodness? Can you think of, as we go about this week, I challenge you, I invite you to think about that one person, whether here, whether afar from here, that needs to hear the language of love from you by being who we're supposed to be as the church and as Christians, proclaiming God's goodness, making God's goodness known to those around us in such a time? And in what ways do you need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit? How do you need to see the Holy Spirit empowering you every day, every morning, so that you can speak love to those around you? That's a question that I'm leaving for you, as in everyone individually, but also as the congregation, as the church. What does it mean for us to speak love? What does it mean for us to make God's goodness and his mighty works known to the world around us? I believe that's what we are called to be as the church, and that's what Pentecost means, at least to me, is that we are to speak the language of love, and we are to make God's wonderful deeds known to those around us. And that's my prayer for you all and for myself.